Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atshalom. We're now in Masachet Chulin Daf Yod Amud Bet. Continuing on a general theme, picking up from the Rav Huna's presentation earlier on about the chazaka of an animal being asur from the time that it was alive, and then how that status plays out. Both we saw it both in the context of how do we judge an animal where we did not have bedikat simanim afterwards, and also what to do when we find that a knife is pagum at some point. And so now there's a general question. This whole notion that a prior status is assumed to be continuing until we know differently, what's the source for that? Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. So Rabbi Yonatan, 2nd century Tana, gives the following answer. Makra, Yatzakon in Abayin, Petach Abayin, Vizkirat Abayin, Shiva Temim. This is with a bite menugah. The Kohen leaves the house to the doorway of the house and then quarantines the house. So Dilma de Nafik Va'ata Batzele Shiura, but perhaps after he went out, by the time he made the declaration, the Shiur of Tzara'at became diminished. It must be that we rely on what the prior status was when he was in the house. So he challenged this proof. He said, maybe the coin walked backing out. He saw the spot the whole time when he was going out and then declared it. Rabbi knocked that down. So there's two responses to this. First of all, backing out is not called Yitzia, and the Pasuk says V'yatzah Kohen. Plus, what are you going to say about, even if he black backs out, what are you going to say about what happens when he's on the other side of the door? You think perhaps that they'll cut a hole in the door. So when he backs out and closes the door, he can still see through it, through this little window. And if Mishnah in the beginning of Negayim says, if you have a house which is totally dark, we don't open up windows in order to be able to see if it's a bite menugah. This is a house that's never going to be a bite menugah. All right, so those are Abaye's two challenges to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Olay Rava. So Rava knocks down both of Abaye's challenges. The comrade, you say, Derech Rav L'Shma Yitzia, you say, backing out is not called Yitzia. Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur Miyochiach. The Kohen Gadol backing out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, where the Torah says, V'yatzah, Dichtiv B'Yitziah, Utanan, the Mishnah in Yoma says, Yatzah Ovalo, Derech Nitzato. He would back out the same way he came in. So he would back out and it's called Yitzia. And the Mishnah, the guy that said we don't cut windows into a darkened house to see a nega. That's when there was never a presumption that there was a bayit menuga. We never saw a nega. I don't do it to start out. But now that this house had a nega, the coin went in and he saw it, then we may indeed open it up in order to be able to see in from the outside, make the declaration. Okay, so where Rav Acha bar Yaakov's challenge still stands. Tanya to look over Rav Acha bar Yaakov, but we have a brayta that goes against him. Again, our pasuk about nigei batim yachol yelech l'toch betov yaskir. I might think that he has to go all the way to his own house or somewhere else and declare the quarantine of the house. It says he goes out to the doorway of the house. Maybe he could stand right underneath the lintel at the doorway. He has to go out of the house. He has to be totally out of the house and make the declaration. He has to stand on the other side of the lintel, close the door, and then make the declaration. But how do I know that that's only the desideratum? But if he went all the way to his own house and made the declaration, or shamad b'toch abayit v'iskir, or he stayed inside of his own, inside of the house that's afflicted, and inside the house he made the declaration, jeskiro muskar, that this quarantine is valid, tamad lomar v'iskir tabayit, therefore the Torah says, v'iskir tabayit, mikol makom. Wherever he makes the quarantine, it's still valid, which means that if he's all the way in his own house and makes the declaration, and certainly cannot see the nega at that point, it's valid. Against Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, what's his answer? that perhaps there's a whole row of people going from the afflicted house all the way to his house, and they're all passing the word that the nega is still there, the nega is still there. Because if you think about it, that doesn't really solve the problem, because you could have, by the time the word gets to him, that's a few minutes after the guy who saw it got his report, and subsequently the nega diminishes, they won't find out in time. So it doesn't really solve the problem. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov really has been pretty soundly refuted. Okay, next piece. Manana milta dam rabbanan zil bat aruba. Now, so far we talked about chazaka, because that was our subject, both vis-a-vis the animal and its chezkat isur and its subsequent chezkat heter in Rav Huna's interesting formulation, and also because of the knife. But we have another determinant of unknown status, which of things of unknown status, which is rov. We follow the majority. How do we know we follow the majority? The Torah says follow the majority. That's pulled out of context, nonetheless, that phrase itself is consistently seen by Chazal as mandate for the majority, especially in a Beit Din. So Ruba di Ita Kaman, when we have all the players in front of us, and we can count, and we see what the rov is, and Gigon, Teisha Chanuyot, like the famous case of meat found on a street where ten stores sell meat, and nine of them are kosher, and the determinant of rov tells us that this one's kosher, or Sanhedrin, like we just saw, taking a vote. Lokei Mayalan. We have no questions that that's a solid source, Achrei Rabim Lahatot, for what we refer to as Ruba di Ita Kaman. Rov sheish lefanenu, when all of the players are in front of us and we see where the majority lies. Ki kamin ba'ilan, our question is, ruba deleita kaman, a rov where all the players are not in front of us. In other words, it's based on statistical probability. Tagon katanu ktana. What's katanu ktana? Palacha is that if you have a katan or ktana that become subject to yibum, let's say the ktana, she was a child bride and her husband died without children, she falls to the brother. The brother cannot marry her yet, so they're and if you have a katanik tana in that boat, you have them raised together, and then when they come of age, they're able to form yibum. However, the problem is that if one of them would turn out to be infertile, then let's say a saris or an almana, then you have yibum isur eshar ach shalav mokam mitzvah, and that's a chiyuv karet. So how do we know that based on the overwhelming statistical majority of people who do not turn out to be infertile, we allow them to cohabit and we don't wait to see how they grow up? So what's the source for that? And that's aruba deleita, come on, because we don't have all the players in front of us. It's statistical probability. Menalan. So we're going to see seven different suggestions, and there's an editorial siman in here, Zman Shabach Machnash, that's there to help us out. So the first one is Rabbi Elazar, that's the Zayin. Hatam Ereisha Shel Olah, the fact that we take the head of a Korban Olah and put it on the Mizbeach, Te Amar Kra, V'nitach Otal Intachea, you're supposed to cut the Olah up into its pieces. Otal Intachea V'lo Intachea Intachim. You don't cut the pieces up into pieces. Avnecha Shema Nikrev Krom Shemoach, but why aren't we concerned that there might be a hole in the membrane of the head, which would then invalidate it? The answer is we follow rov. Rov heads are okay. So we put the head on the Mizbeach. And that's fine because we're not allowed to cut it up. Well, we challenge that. In my Dilma, the Fali Leu Vadekle, maybe you peel it back and check. And if the prohibition of the Pasuk that you don't cut pieces into subsequent smaller pieces, maybe that's only if you really cut. If you just fold it back, maybe it's okay. So that's not really a great proof. Number two, Marbrei Ravina Mar, and this is a variation on Rabbi Elazar's, Ata Mishrat Etzim Pesach, the prohibition of breaking a bone in the Korban Pesach. Damar Achman Etzim Lotish Peruvo, which means you can't really cut in to see what's going on in the Korban. V'nechus Shem Nikrav Kum Shomoach, and again, the head of the animal might have a membrane that's torn. But you're not allowed to break a bone to see inside. Again, we follow the rov. You could put something to smoke on top of the head, and it'll burn it away, and you'll see inside whether or not it was a trefa. If you cut the sinews of a Pesach, or you burn the bones, that's not called Shvirat Etzem. Shvirat Etzem is taking a cleaver and breaking a bone. So that one was not proven either. Again, to a korban, and to seeing that a korban, assuming that a korban is fit, even though we can't check a particular part, and that is the fat of the tail of the lamb. That the fat of the aliyah goes on the mizbeach. Why aren't we concerned that maybe the spinal cord is broken? We follow the rov that such things don't happen. Maybe it got broken underneath. That's the particular spot where the kidneys are. That's what you have to see. Maybe you could open it up and check. When the Torah said tmima, it has to be perfect, uncut. That means not fully cut. Same answer as we gave to Rabbi Lazar. Maybe if you fold it back, it's okay. Make a little cut and fold it back. Don't cut it off. And you still have tmima, and you could see if it's a treif or not. So the first three all went down. That was, by the way, the Siman Zman, Rabbi Lazar and Mar Ravina, or Nachmar Yitzchak. Now, under the second Siman, which is Shabbach, is first of all, Sheshet Bered Ravidi, that's the Shin. Atimi Egla Rufa, the Egla Rufa, the Rachmana, Ha Arufa, which means you have to break the neck of the animal. Kshishlemate Havi, it has to be a perfect animal. And you cannot, therefore, cut it open to see whether or not it's a Trefa. Velechosh Dima Trefahi, so why aren't we concerned? Allah Mishun Amin, Zavat Aruva, we follow Rove. Most animals are not treifas. Chiteima may nafkumina. You could say, well, who cares? It's just negla rufa. It's not a korban. Also, you're not eating it. The Torah says, kaper liamcha Yisrael. And as we saw at the end of Masachet Sotah, that the egla rufa is considered to be a catalyst for kapara, and therefore, just like for kodshim, it can't be a treifa. Here it also can't be a treifa. We can't break it up. The answer is that we follow Rove. And that one stands. Rabbi Rav Shila Amar, this is the bet, the Shabbach. Rabbi Rav Shila Amar, Atemi Paraduma, somewhat of a parallel piece. Tamar Rachman of a Shachat Vesaraf, you have to shecht the animal and burn it. Mashchi Tatakshi Shlema, just like you shecht it when it's full, complete, in full shape. Afsre Fatakshi Shlema, you have to burn it when it's in full shape. Velechosh Dima Trefa, why aren't we concerned that maybe the Parah is a Trefa? Again, you'd say, who cares if a par is treif or not? Just getting the ashes. The answer is chatat kar yachmana. The Torah refers to it as a chatat, and therefore, like a korban, it has to be not a treifa. The chet of that siman is of Acha bar Yaakov Amar. Atya miserim ishtoleach. The sa'ir that's sent away to Azazel. Chonam alakachet shnei asirim. You have to take the two goats. Shushnem shavim. They have to be the same. Maybe one of them is a treifa, and you can't cut it open to check. Again, we follow Rov. Who cares? The answer is, because after all, this one's going Mazazel. And again, like we had with the power, and like we had with the Egla, even though it's not brought as a korban, it has the same requirements. Because the goral, the lottery, does not set the animal to go lazazel, unless it could have been also fit to go bifnim. If you think maybe after it goes lazazel, we cut it open and check to make sure how it is. This is towards the end of the middle of Masachet Yoma in the Mishnah. The animal would be thrown down the mountain and halfway down, it would be broken up into pieces, which means it has to be absolutely full until that point, so you can't cut it open to check it. Got to walk it all the way out to Azazel. Mary Amar, this is now the last part of the Siman, the Mem, or Mary Amar, Atimakeavi Vimo, very famous proof. It says the very fact that we execute a child for striking his father, maybe this kid is not the child of that father. The answer is we follow Rov. Rov Bilot Acharbal, even if the mother was having an affair, most of her Bilot follow her husband, and therefore we assume that this kid belongs to the father. Maybe the Torah only required us to execute the son for striking his father if the mother and father during that 9-month period, or that period when she could have conceived him, were locked away in prison, so that they were together in seclusion. He's the only possible father. The answer is, I feel like I'm not patropos l'arayot. There is no guardian for arayot. There's always ways to have an affair. therefore it's still possible. So we still say for Rov. Rav Kahana Amar, this is the Chaf in that Siman, Ate Mihoregat HaNefesh, for the very fact that we execute a killer. Rachman HaKadlei, V'lechush Dema Trefahu, Have, maybe the guy, the victim, was a Trefa. He was a dying man. HaMashon Amin, it's about the Rov, we find and follow Rov, and the Rov of people are not dying. Chitemen about Kinanlei, you think that we go and check the victim? Hakam and Ninval, that would be degrading to him. So you think maybe to save this perpetrator's life, we're going to degrade this body. In other words, if we find him to be a trefa, then this guy won't, then the perpetrator won't die. If so, then even if we find that the body is complete and that there was only the wound that the perpetrator inflicted, maybe there had been a nekev there earlier also, which means you're never going to know. Which means that, again, we're following Rov. Ravina Amar, that's the nun of the siman. Atya mi edim zomin. Edim zomin, damar achmana, vasidim kosher zamam. It's kind of a parallel to the earlier answer, is that perhaps the guy about whom they testified, who's going to get killed, is himself a trefa. And that you can't check because he's alive. Shum damrin zobataruva. Chitemen avad kinan lay. You think you check him, meaning we think that maybe they got him killed, and now we're going to check him. The Rabbi Yomer, lo argu naragin, argu naragin. Exactly opposite of the tzdukim. Edim zomin can only be killed if they weren't successful in getting this guy killed. If they actually got the guy killed, then they can't be killed, which means the guy's alive. You can't check him to be a trefa. Okay, Rav Ashi Amari has the last one. Atim shchita atzma. Shchita itself is a proof of rov. The Torah said, do shchita and eat. Maybe he sliced right at a plate where there had been previously a mortal wound. Good. Now, Amar Ravashi, that's the seventh and final proof. Ravashi, Amrita l'shmata kamei Rav Kahana. Ravashi said, I repeated this whole thing to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana kamei to Rav Shimi. And some people think that Rav Kahana repeated this to Rav Shimi. V'amarle, whoever heard it, said to whoever said it, in other words, maybe all of these cases where we say we follow Rove, that's because we got no better way to determine. We didn't have DNA, we don't know who this kid belongs to, so we'll say it belongs to that the husband of the mother, and so forth with other things. But maybe Hechad Efshar, man, if it's possible to determine it some other way, like the Katan Uktana, just let them wait till they grow up and see what happens. Maybe we don't rely on Rov. The Ilote Mahachi, because if we don't say that way, the Remeir Rechai Shlemiut Echanami Loachel Bisra, the Remeir who's Choshish Lemiut should never eat meat, because he's going to not accept Rov. And therefore, Remeir would say, oh, if you're saying that Shechita's okay based on Rov, I'm not going to accept Shechita. Chitei Machinam, if you think the mayor himself was a vegetarian, then we have the following problem. Pesach Kodesh Ma'ikel, remember, what are you going to say about Korbanot, which he's chayiv to eat? Of course, he didn't live at that time, but Elohecha de Efshar, Efshar, Echad Efshar, Lo Efshar. Indeed, the reason, as we say, as follows. When you shechting an animal, there's no better test that you can do. There's no way you can determine whether there might have been a whole tzobi. Can't be choshesh l'miuta, and we can eat the meat. Echad Lo Efshar, Lo Efshar. All right, so if there's a way we can determine better, we will. So we'll say the same thing about Rove, and Rove is now has this particular codicil on it, which is somewhat limiting. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast with an interesting halacha of Rav and the pursuant discussion. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.